Welcome to this special bonus episode of the Passive House podcast. I'm Zach Semke, director of Passive House Accelerator, and we're pleased to be sharing a series of bonus episodes recorded at the International Passive House Conference 2023 in Wiesbaden, Germany. These interviews were made possible by support from Icon Windows and Doors, Innotech Windows and Doors, Intelligent Membranes, Minotaur, and Proclima. Please enjoy this bonus episode.
Hi, Emma. I'm so glad that you're joining me for this interview today. So I saw your presentation yesterday. I was very, very impressed.
Thanks.
And I just wanted to hear a little bit more about it. But maybe first you can introduce yourself.
Thanks, Ilka. Yes. Well, great to see you. Yes, I'm Emma Osmundsen. I'm the CEO of 60 Bricks, which is a council-owned development company in London. I'm relatively new to 60 Bricks. Before that, I spent 15 years at Exeter City Council. And yesterday I was here speaking about those 15 years developing Passive House for the City Council.
That's amazing. So you presented the first pool, public pool in the UK, and basically the 12 years that took to actually get it built.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, it did, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, St. Sidwell's Point, it was 12 years to delivery.
Mm.
We didn't think that when we started that journey, but it's been really great to reflect back on those 12 years, but safe in the knowledge that we've delivered a fabulous building.
Yeah.
And I think when you're involved with Passive House, you're so focused at the end goal,
mm-hmm.
because working to an international standard that is guaranteed in terms of performance and delivering what it says it's going to deliver, that you kind of forget the process in between. And, you know, reflecting back now after the sort of 12 years it took us to deliver St. Sidwell's, you quickly forget the challenges, the pain, the joys as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that it's always worth it. I mean, that's the great thing about Passive House.
Yeah.
You always know at the end of the day it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you're saying in the beginning, nobody was really on board with Passive House, or they didn't even know enough to be on board, correct?
Yes, you know, we as a local authority pioneered Passive House in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't set out to pioneer it. You know, it was quite accidental how I came about the Passive House standard. But being a building surveyor, so coming from a technical background, I actually understood the building physics. So it made just a complete obvious sense to adopt this when we were building our first Passive House social homes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we probably got some traction was I didn't tell anyone that we were doing Passive House.
Mm.
So I think sometimes you need to adopt a bit of stealth to get some of these Passive House projects going. So I just focused on a lot of the social benefits of Passive House, which I think often we don't shout enough about. So the first projects we developed as Passive House were purely focused on eradicating fuel poverty. And, you know, going back 15 years ago, fuel poverty is nothing like it was now. And that was how I got traction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ask anyone, would you like a home that is going to eradicate fuel poverty for our social tenants, who's going to say no? And they're more likely to say no to Passive House because they don't know about it. They've got the fear, misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what started the journey, really. When we fast forwarded to the leisure centre, even though we'd been building, you know, tens and tens of Passive House homes, predominantly for social tenants, the concept of building a big municipal leisure centre with swimming pools, dry side sports, spas, cafes and the like, that really was a challenge from the council's perspective to really think about committing to Passive House. And their starting position. I remember having conversations with them. Look, Emma, don't you mention that P word. Because, you know, this is too high stakes. Mm. You know, this, you know, there's more housing projects, but, you know, there's not many big passive house commercial or leisure projects in the UK. And, you know, we're government funded. We're public purse. We can't take the risk. But again, you know, the great thing about passive house, you always know that it will win.
Yeah.
And so much again was about how do we use a bit of stealth to get people to understand that passive house is the right route and they can have confidence in it.
So was there skepticism because passive house seemed intimidating, or was it more because there wasn't enough examples to look at?
Yeah, I mean, at that time, there just wasn't enough large-scale passive house projects in the UK, mm-hmm. and even overseas. So there was a real fear factor.
Yeah.
You know, local government, the public sector, usually are very risk-averse.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, ironically, the public sector can be great innovators. So you have that sort of conflict mm-hmm. between being risk-averse, but usually the innovators, because private sector often is more risk-averse for new technology.
So how did you get the city council on board then finally?
So again, it was, you know, using a bit of stealth. Mm-hmm. And so it was connecting passive house with the people. So we brought some of the kind of senior politicians, senior officers in the council to Germany. And we said, look, come and visit the two passive house pools that they've got in Germany. Mm-hmm. Experience it for yourself. Experience it from a more human level. So not the theoretical, not the kind of science building physics behind it, but just come and experience it as a user. And as ever, the passive house sold itself. And they came, visited the two kind of test projects in Germany. And there was no doubt after that visit that they knew that they wanted passive house. And it completely changed their mindset. And then they became real champions and leaders, sort of that civic leadership role in then taking passive house to a much bigger scale.
That's amazing. And so much so that they actually took the risk of the construction.
They did. So again, you know, I think it showed you the power of going to visit other passive house projects, going to meet other teams that have successfully delivered those projects, and also those people that live, work, or use those buildings. And then when we went through, you know, procurement is always challenging, whether it's passive house or not. We were going through a challenging procurement period. We were hitting, you know, quite troublesome economic times in the UK. So we were able to get a contractor on board to work with us to deliver our project, but they weren't prepared to take the design risk of passive house. And I think for us, because we'd had, you know, almost a decade before that of passive house experience, albeit on a residential scale, we knew the standard was tried and tested, and we had every confidence in it. So we were prepared to take the risk because we needed that project to get over the line. And there was no way that project was not going to be passive house. And we also trusted the contractor. We trusted that they had the capability and the capacity to deliver it. So we were prepared to take that risk.
So now construction is finished, correct?
Yes, we're all finished. The centre opened in April of this year. And yeah, fully operational. I'm often in there myself. Mm-hmm. It's just a fabulous environment.
Yeah.
To visit and to use.
That's amazing. And so doing the process, did the contractor change their perspective? And are they ready to take on the risk for the next one? Or?
Yeah, I think what's the great thing about passive house is it's transformational. Mm-hmm. And it's transformational at so many levels.
Yeah.
And we saw the same with the contractor. Mm-hmm. You know, from day one, Kier were really committed to deliver the project. And from day one, they really mobilised their supply chain, all their subcontractors, into, you know, some training, some information dissemination, and really they were able to articulate to the 2,500 people that were involved in physically delivering the project. Wow. They really engaged with them in a way that, all those individuals understood the why.
Yes.
You know, why are we doing this? Why are we building things in this way? Why have we got the level of quality assurance? Why are we taking so many photographs? Why are we stopping at so many points to allow people to come and inspect? And what was wonderful to see was they got it. And over the 3.5 years it took to deliver that project because of COVID, you could really see that we transformed the way that people were working. The quality was exceptional, because that's always the great hallmark of Passive House. It mm-hmm. delivers quality, not just in the performance, but also in the buildability. And it was fantastic to see so many people suddenly feel really proud. Proud to be working on a project that they really felt invested in. And then, obviously, when we finished the project, it was fabulous to have those people come back and see it. And I think the building has delivered so much more, than Passive House.
Yeah.
It's delivered a generation of constructors, of suppliers, that have seen the future and they want to be part of it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they're going to be able to go out and teach others what they learned and the why. The other interesting thing that you talked about, or your colleague, was that the design of a pool had to be rethought a little bit too, because typically in the UK, all the big windows are facing north.
Yes.
And in this case, you basically had to turn the design around and switch that up, and that people were not totally convinced that that was going to work either.
Yes. I mean, it was. It was really interesting, because all of a sudden you're designing around the principles of building physics, and, you know, they don't change.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a case that we could stick with the old way of designing, because it wasn't fit for purpose. Mm-hmm. And so our lead designer for the project was one of the UK's leading leisure architects based in place. They'd never done a Passive House project. They had no Passive House expertise within their practice. But they were the right architects, because we wanted an amazing leisure building. We knew that we could bolt on the Passive House expertise mm-hmm. and we could intermesh it within their design teams. And it was really fantastic bringing them over to Germany and for them to suddenly see all their design premises completely turned upside down. But the great thing is they could understand why.
Yeah.
They could see that mm-hmm. this was creating better spaces. And so, yes, we've now developed a building that will be the new benchmark for leisure buildings in the UK. And it's been really exciting to continue Exeter's journey as almost a city of experimentation. It's been a laboratory for Passive House. And now we've got a building that can be replicated, and people can not only understand the why, but they can see the difference.
Yeah.
So yes, we've thrown out all our previous ways of developing pools in particular, twisting them from the north to the south mm-hmm. and creating wonderful swimming spaces.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also said, which was great, is that bringing Passive House to the people is not necessarily through explaining building physics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
I do get a little bit irritated with the sort of nerdiness of Passive House. And I think often, you know, people come together and they're fixated about the physics. They're fixated about that sort of race to zero carbon. And often I think we miss out some of the real key benefits of Passive House. And the great thing about St. Sidwell's is about delivering a public building. So in the past, where we've delivered Passive House social homes, great, fantastic feedback from the residents, but invariably the general public don't have access to see what these homes are like. So I think St. Sidwell's is an important building for the UK, because it's one of those few places where the doors are open, mm-hmm. people can come in, experience it. And it's that emotional, physiological and also psychological sensations that you get in a passive house building. And I think that will be a real strong catalyst for people really understanding a lot more about this standard.
I think I totally agree. Just creating public spaces where everyone can experience passive house is definitely the key to more success.
Definitely, yes. And I, you know, I really hope that it can be a springboard for, you know, upscaling more passive house projects. And also, you know, I think it's an important tool, like Germany, the pools in Germany were to us, to have something that people can come and visit. Maybe bring their skeptical clients, maybe bring their counsellors, their political leaders, to really look at what can be delivered for the common good.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. Amazing project and amazing just mission, I think, by the City Council as well, and you, and for pushing all of this forward.
Well, thank you, Ilka, and always an open invitation. So pack your swimmers and come and visit.